Namaste, my beautiful podcast audience. It's been two since I have published a podcast. I was in India and it was a fantastic trip. I'll tell you all about it. And it's been a hot summer all across the US, all across the world. Hottest summer in 120 years. I went to Delhi, my hometown, and it was just amazing. The government, the local government, they've come together, they've planted hundreds and thousands of trees. So Delhi is beautiful, green, tropical. Delhi is the food capital of Asia. It was absolutely amazing. The customer service was amazing everywhere. But I did notice one thing. When I left India 17 years ago, there were still many people who were very spiritual. Yes, they went about, had their jobs and worked, but they were also deeply spiritual. But one thing I noticed, especially about the young generation in India, that they seem to be chasing happiness with stuff. I want to buy more stuff. I want to flaunt my wealth. You know how rich, when we have new wealth, we want to flaunt it. So I felt, especially the young people, and they were absolutely wonderful, don't get me wrong, but they were very much influenced by the American way of thinking. American movies are very popular. People want to dress up like the West. They want to show off their newly found wealth. And it started me thinking, you know, about India and its spirituality. And I want to discuss about pursuit of happiness and why we want to be happy and how we can be happy. And running after money is not the answer. The Declaration of Independence clearly states that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think in the last 200 years or so, Americans take this pursuit of happiness as literally pursuing or running after happiness, which we think is things. Happiness means things. We are running after or going after stuff. Bigger house, even if we do not have money. Bigger car, more stuff, everything's more. We're chasing happiness by chasing more things to buy. Have you ever heard anyone say, I want to be miserable and I want unhappiness and I want disease? All of us want to be happy. So how do I become happy and live my best life? We want to be free of disease. We want to accumulate good karma and we want to die in our next life. We want to move on to a better, higher plane. What does Ayurveda say? Ayurveda talks about four pillars that should be the foundation of how we live. This truth is even more important for those of us in the workaday world. We are karma yogis. We have to work, we have to make money, and at the same time, trying to be spiritual and trying to follow our dharma and trying to do good karma. It's a juggling act. So let's ask our resident Vedic scholar and expert Pandit Atul Krishna, what is the Vedic approach to life? In fact, Ayurveda means the science of life. How to live a good life. That is what the meaning of Ayurveda is. What is life? What is the meaning of life? Can you please tell us?
In Vedic life, there are four aims of life, and those are basically things that all of our efforts are aimed towards satisfying these. And the thing is that this is not something like it's a thing you have to sign up for or subscribe to or believe in. It is an observation of things that everyone does, everyone in human society. These are dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Even though we're using Sanskrit terms, these are things that everyone does. Dharma is having an idea of righteous living, having a moral and ethical life. Now, even if someone is very immoral, that means that their morality is characterized by a lack of consideration for others, right? that's the, we could say that they have a kind of a very low emphasis on dharma. Artha are the basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, health. Sometimes artha is referred to as economic development, making enough money so that we can have things. Kama are the luxuries, enjoyment, finer things, comforts, entertainment, sense pleasure. And moksha, or liberation, which is really meant to be the ultimate aim of human life. How to become free from this cycle where we're born, we have some period of growth, we suffer diseases, we ultimately dwindle, and then we die, and we have to move on to another life. So, you know, it's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. You could basically look at any society and the way anyone lives, and you could break down their life into these four categories, even if the dharma part or the concept of moksha is really non-existent. Moksha, for example, there's a person who says, well, I might as well live as if I could die tomorrow, and I'm going to enjoy all I can because there is nothing else in life other than this life. So I'm born, I'm alive now, and then when I die, it's all done. So I'm just going to live it up, and I'm going to enjoy as much as I can. It means that their moksha, we could say their moksha score or their moksha level is basically effectively zero, but it's still a part of their life and it's defined by its absence. Or people have the concept of moksha as, well, I'm going to be a good person, and if I do good things and I live according to my religious beliefs, I'll go to some concept of heaven or heaven or kingdom of God or spiritual realm, however I define it. That's my concept of moksha. It's become free from suffering. All right, four aims of life. What are the four stages of life? So again, this is something that is specific to Vedic culture. And in Vedic culture, there are four distinct stages of life. There is the brahmacharya or student life stage. This is starting from around age 5 when someone has become aware of the need for education, for learning things. Then they enter this brahmacharya life until they are old enough to get married and take up the duties of a householder. This is grihastha ashram, means married life. So in brahmacharya stage, in Vedic culture, it's not just about being a student, it's about being a practitioner of spiritual life also. So the brahmachari is someone who will also be learning things on the spiritual side as well, how to do practices of realizing the presence of the Atma. In grihastha life, we usually have a lot of things to do. We will be married, we will have children, we will have responsibilities in our family, and we're taking care of others. And then there's the vanaprastha, is the stage of life where one is beginning to prepare for renunciation. And finally, there is a fourth order of life called sannyas, which is not something that everyone does. Some people will take up at the end of their life, a stage of being completely renounced and not performing any type of work, but only engaging in spiritual realization. So there are two aspects in the Vedic approach to life. And one is the action part. So action is what we do. We use the term karma. Karma does not mean simply, you know, reactions to what you do. Karma means work. It means doing stuff. It also means the reactions, the things that we receive, the karma phala. Karma phala means the fruits of action. Karma itself simply means action. Why do we do action? Because action is the basis for our success, for accomplishing things. We have health, wealth, good family relationships, all the things that we need for fulfilling artha, kama, and dharma. And knowledge is basically, there are different types of knowledge. One type of knowledge is knowledge of the spiritual reality, which helps us to move towards moksha, to understand the self, the atma, to understand the process of liberation or becoming free from the cycle of birth and death. And they're both important. There's also knowledge. Knowledge is also considered to be knowledge that might involve how to do things in this world. But really, the standard of knowledge is that which aids us in understanding spiritual reality is considered the best type of knowledge. We're not talking about knowledge of how to be a doctor or even to be an Ayurvedic practitioner or to be a software engineer or anything like that. That is also knowledge. But knowledge of the self, this is considered to be a higher form of knowledge. But knowledge and action are both important.